Listen now for the word of God speaking to the people of God through these words from Hebrew scripture. Then Solomon assembled Israel's elders, all the tribal leaders, and the chiefs of Israel's clans at Jerusalem to bring up the ark containing the Lord's covenant from David's city Zion. The priests brought the chest containing the Lord's covenant to its designated spot beneath the wings of the winged creatures in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place. When the priests left the holy place, a cloud filled the Lord's temple, and the priests were unable to carry out their duties due to the cloud because the Lord's glory filled the Lord's temple. Solomon stood before the Lord's altar in front of the entire Israelite assembly, and spreading out his hands toward the sky, he said, "Lord, God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You keep the covenant and show steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. This is the covenant you kept with your servant David, my father, which you promised him. Today, you have fulfilled what you promised. So now, Lord, Israel's God, keep what you promised my father David, your servant, when you said to him, 'You will never fail to have a successor sitting on Israel's throne as long as your descendants carefully walk before me, just as you walked before me.' So now, God of Israel, may your promise to your servant David, my father, come true. But how could God possibly live on earth? If heaven, even the highest heaven, can't contain you, how can this temple that I've built contain you? Lord, my God, listen to your servant's prayer and request, and hear the cry and prayer of your servant's prayer to you today. Constantly watch over this temple, the place about which you said, 'My name will be there,' and listen to the prayer that your servant is praying toward this place. Listen to the request of your servant and your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Listen from your heavenly dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Listen also to the immigrant who isn't from your people Israel, but who comes from a distant country because of your reputation. Because they will hear of your great reputation, your great power, and your outstretched arm, when the immigrant comes and prays toward this temple, then listen from heaven where you live and do everything the immigrant asks. Do this so that all the people of the earth may know of your steadfast love and revere you as your people Israel do, and recognize that this temple I have built bears your name." The word of God for the people of God. Let's be in prayer together. Holy One, we thank you for these words, and we pray that by the power and the mystery of your love, these words, your word, might find a home in our loving, in Jesus. Amen. You know, several weeks ago, for the first time that I was here with you, I had one of those moments. I had the sense that I was suddenly in what some of the saints call a thin place. That Sunday, a few weeks ago, was the first time I had been in a meeting house for worship in well over a year. I was moved to tears because I had not realized just how much I desperately needed and deeply missed communal worship. To sing my faith with others, to listen to a group of people who are actually happy to see one another, to hear the words of the Bible in a community on a shared journey had been absent from my life and probably for many of you since a year ago March. It was understandable. It was completely necessary, and Zoom and live streaming were soul savers. But I'm sorry, it was just not the same. Zoom especially, live streaming is great. I'm looking at that camera and I'm thanking God for the live streamers who are here today. But Zoom is sort of like eating sweet corn or an underripe tomato shipped up from Florida in January. Amen. And I've heard similar thoughts expressed by friends and colleagues around the country as congregations bolstered by the vaccinated gather as those who actually get it and understand that being vaccinated is loving your neighbor enough to be vaccinated or to wear a mask. As they begin taking baby steps toward a gradual reopening. And I don't have to tell you, we are not there yet. We're still taking precautions, listening to the experts, attempting to use the best information available, given the Delta variant. This whole business is just not easy. We're not out of the woods, but by people of faith, we know that we're on a journey, and as St. John Lennon said once, everything will be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, it's not the end. I love that. This congregation has wisely prepared for this gradual reopening. And I have to say, in the few weeks I've been here, I've been so impressed by your lay leaders who have embraced the possibility of new lighting, which is on the way, and new cameras, so that what we do here can be multiplied through media to enlarge our faith family and leave no one behind. That's really the key thing. Leave no one behind, because many simply can't take a risk. We don't know what might come next, but what you have done already makes whatever comes next a whole lot less challenging. So let me just say, as a kind of insider-outsider, thank you. Thank you. Now, let me begin with a question. Do any of you collect things? Yeah, several of you do. Stamps? Beer cans? Barbie dolls? I know a very famous doll collector who's here today. I collect church buildings and other places of worship. When we travel, I visit churches, I visit old churches, unusual churches, historic churches, new churches. I visit great cathedrals, adobe mission buildings, or churches with the simple lines of a colonial New England meeting house. And for some strange reason, even if I don't take a picture, I usually remember something about every one of them. And it's so bad, in fact, or so good from my point of view, since I'm the church collector, it's so good, in fact, that I actually navigate by churches. I will learn a new city by learning where the churches are. And if I know where the church is, I figure I'm never lost. Over the years, not a few people I've traveled with, including my beloved, have had serious problems with my fixation. I tour an old city, moving from steeple to steeple. Years ago, traveling with four friends around Rome from church to church to church, after a day and a half, they figured out what I was up to and they took my map away. They had enough. off. And I was just getting started. A few years ago, we were visiting a close friend, a college roommate, a colleague in Cologne, Germany, where he was serving. And I discovered that surrounding the great Cologne Cathedral, there were 12 Romanesque churches. And I became obsessed with visiting every single one. If I had a bumper sticker pasted to my backside, it might say edifice or obsessed, or this vehicle stops at all houses of worship. Now, before you think this is a sermon about my personal neuroses, which are many, let's engage the text. Today we heard another piece written by the anonymous writer, the Hebrew storyteller, whose book we call 1 Kings. We heard the story of the dedication of the first fixed, non-movable worship space in the Judeo tradition, our religious heritage, the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem. And it's an interesting story full of all sorts of things to consider. Let me point out just a few. According to this story, the priests, and religious leaders frequently do this kind of thing. We've got next week Jubilee Sunday. Well, they cook up this big celebration to dedicate the temple. They bring the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies in the new temple. According to their tradition, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And at the very moment when this big celebration gets cooking, just when they imagine, I think, somehow that they've localized God and where to find God, the whole temple fills up with a cloud. And the God whose presence they've sought to establish makes a U-turn. God fills the temple with a cloud and drives the professional religious leadership, robes and all, right out the door. Now, don't try this. Don't try this. We're wily. We have a back door over there, and we get away first. What God says in this text is, look, I don't care how wonderful your building is. I don't care how long it took or how much you spent to build it. I am more wonderful still, and I am not contained and will not be contained in any shrine you might build for me, no matter how beautiful. First lesson. Like Solomon's temple, this place is a house dedicated to God. But God does not live here. God is here when we are here. As I tried to tell the children, God travels from this place to wherever your journey or mine might lead us. God is, in fact, the one who walks the lonesome valley, and who takes us by the hand when the shadow of death comes calling. God is here when we are here because we bear the image of God, and Jesus said, wherever two or three of us gather, whether on Zoom or on live stream, God is there. And we're not alone. This place is holy. Not because it's beautiful, it's holy because you and I are holy and portable in our holiness. We're the very children of God's love, and holy is as holy does. And being holy is about loving others and making sure that all God's children have enough to eat and a decent place to live. Now, I think most people would agree that this worship space is very pleasing to the eye. The first time I visited here many years ago, I found this meeting house to be beautiful in its simplicity, but its true beauty is the beauty of a community of people actually seeking with every ounce of their being to follow the way of Jesus, who just happened to meet here. For example, God showed up here a week ago. I have a good report on this, in the form of kitchen towels and kitchen gadgets and volunteers and students from around the world. That's a fact. It was a genuine 100% bona fide God sighting. Now, I sometimes come into this space during the week by myself. I love to do that, but I have to remind myself what makes this a sanctuary. The gathered presence of the people of God, whether physically present in this space or present virtually by camera, it's beautiful because we find strength to go out into this community and the wider world and find ways to let the Christ light shine. It's beautiful because we discover ways, while connected here, to be neighbor to one another. It's beautiful because in our gathering, the true holy places are wherever we lift up our eyes to see goodness and beauty around us in the world. For beauty is as beauty does. Goodness is as goodness does. Second idea, when God filled that temple with the cloud and drove out the priests, it was and is a direct warning about idols. Don't worship idols. You know that. You know that. That's Christianity 101. That's Judaism 101. That's Islam 101. Don't ever get caught creating God in your own image or hemming God in with ideas too small, too local, with ideas that look too much like the backside of your fears about the future. Don't be seduced by conspiracy theories that are idols dressed up in ego-driven pseudo-scientific costumes. In my mind, that is the idolatry of the present age. And there's a lot of it going around. I've noticed that some people seem to take joy in believing that God is a conservative Republican. You didn't hear that here first, did you? There went one. others imagine that God's a liberal Democrat. And I have noticed as well that some folks confuse their politics or their way of life or their contrarian attitude with the will of God. And then they turn around and name it freedom and expect the rest of us to salute. Simply stated, that's idolatry. This text is a cautionary tale about religion or attitudes that create God in your image or mine, because that's much more comfortable and comforting than the awesome deity who will not, who will never be built into a box or contained in my feeble brain or yours. This temple text teaches that opinions and behavior too narrow, too certain, are the dirty dishwater approximation of the holy that filled the temple and taught through the voice of Jesus. This text teaches that every time we confine God to one type of building or hang a graven image dedicated to our way of life or thought system, every single time we do that, God moves. God moves, inviting us to understand that we do not understand and never can the full mystery of God's love. Third lesson. When it comes to knowing God and following the way of Jesus, it's never about a place, it's about a relationship. Our relationship with God, God's relationship with us, our relationship with our neighbors, and a place that makes relationship happen is a holy place. Some weeks ago, Hal gave an article to the staff about not the what, but the why. The why we do what we do as a congregation is the holiness of God. Remember what Jesus said when he was asked what we needed to do to become the inheritors of eternal life? He said that we're to love God with our whole heart, with our entire soul, and with the totality of our mind, and to find a way to love one another and ourselves with the same depth with which we have been loved. Solomon called it steadfast love, that love of God that will never, ever let us go. The Apostle Paul called it grace, and grace is amazing because no matter who we are or where we are in the journey, as the UCC says, we are accepted and loved without condition, no matter how unacceptable we believe ourselves to be. And so here we are in this place of beauty. And it is good. It is good. It is very good. But like that temple long ago, this beautiful place is not the destination. This place is a way station on the journey, on the path that leads to life. Here we find renewal. Here we are reminded of God's love and mercy. Here we can be recharged for life's journey. Here we can meet the neighbor we need to love. Here we can work together to accomplish great things. But here is not the destination. The journey is whatever comes next. Amen.